Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. I'm Michael Detweiler, your host, and today I am just honored to have a friend, a guest. His name is Jonathan Young. He's a local judge here in town, and welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Absolutely. So, tell me the Jonathan Young story. Where were you born? Where'd you go to school? How'd you decide to do what you were going to do? All that fun stuff.
Sure. Well, I was, they tell me I was born at Cookeville Regional Medical Center. I don't remember it, obviously. But I was born and raised basically in Monterey, Tennessee. Went to what was then Uffelman Elementary and then Monterey High School, Tennessee Tech for undergrad, and then the University of Memphis School of Law.
Wow.
So that was my story.
So you didn't buy the old Uffelman Elementary when it went up for auction in Monterey?
No. I don't know what I would do with the building and don't know anything about asbestos.
That's
so
right.
Apparently I would not be a good candidate
not be
for that.
Good. Yes.
Yeah.
I got to walk through that right before it closed just because, you know, I mean,
right.
It's a school a lot of kids went through, and, you know, it's kind of fun doing that.
It so. Is, and I had some great memories there. People who don't know, it was the elementary school without walls.
Yeah.
So K through 3 and then 4 through 6 were all basically in one ginormous room with little dividers up. So mm-hmm. if you were bored, you could watch what was going on in the other class.
Yes.
It was sort of interesting, I guess.
That was kind of a concept at that time. When schools were being built, and it bled on into even Northeast Elementary, built in the early to mid 70s here,
right.
Same thing. And so obviously they found that maybe closed off classrooms are a little better idea.
Especially for kids with short attention spans.
That's right, like
so
that's, me.
Yeah,
and you,
exactly.
You know, so you Monterey, you consider home?
I consider, yeah, that's my home. When I talk about going home, that's always it.
That's home.
Mom and dad still live there. I got a sister live there. All of my aunts and uncles on my mom's side still live in Monterey. So
that's great.
That's my home.
I was up there recently at the visitor center and help them install a new weather station.
I saw that.
I think it'll be really interesting to compare the winds in Monterey. I've already started doing this work, by the way, and compare temperatures and everything else. I mean, we obviously know that with the elevation, the weather can be quite a bit different in Monterey.
It is quite a bit different. And you know, when I was going to school, everybody loved Monterey because we always got the snow.
That's
and
right.
Nobody didn't. and you know, in the fall and the spring, it's basically little London is what we like to call it because it's so foggy up there all the
yes.
time. It's
yes.
just amazing.
So when you see a dense fog advisory, it's not for Cookeville.
Yeah,
it's for Monterey.
It's for Monterey.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes. the clouds like to settle down, and you try to feel your way out to your vehicle and hope you can make it down the mountain. But
great town. So as a high schooler, were you one of those guys that cruised the Dairy Queen and all that fun stuff?
You know, I wasn't much of a cruiser. I was a person who was trying to work and pay car payments and insurance and did that. So I was the
you
one.
You didn't burn the gas, right?
No. It was a lot cheaper back then, though. But I was the one that was bagging your groceries after school and doing that and trying to pay for everything.
I hear you. So what did y'all do for fun on Friday nights? You worked, basically,
you know,
right?
Worked, but the thing about it was there was a group of us guys. We would buy groceries, and some of them worked at the Dairy Queen, and some worked at the other grocery store. And on Friday nights, we would get off, and we would go to the late movies and then do that because
really?
The movies back then were like $4, I think, for a seat, for a ticket. And then it was even more fun as when we got out of the movies, we'd go to Taco Bell, which was still open.
Yes,
and
of course.
Order tacos and go park somewhere and do that. So yeah,
I had a
very wild childhood growing up. That,
going to the movie theater and eating tacos.
And eating tacos.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
So then you get out of high school, and you said you went to Tennessee Tech to start.
I did.
And so let me ask you this. I always love asking people, especially the locals. So did you choose Tech, or did it get chosen for you? Kind of what was the plan there?
Well, I guess I chose Tech, one, because it was close to home and I was poor. I lived at home while I was going to Tech, so that saved me a lot of money for that. And then I was able to work and pay, you know, didn't have to take out any loans or anything for that. But, you know, pound for pound, I think Tech's one of the best universities in the state of Tennessee.
100% agree with you. You know, there's a factoid out there, and I don't think most people knew this. Tennessee Tech graduates, on average, make the second highest income coming out of college of all the universities in Tennessee. They trail only Vanderbilt. Of course, there's some reasons right. why there. And they come out with the lowest amount of debt.
And I think that's a good thing because, you know, Tech's kind of got the ding for being a commuter school, and that's sort of what I did. I lived in Monterey and drove down.
Sure.
But I think it's also kind of a misnomer because a lot of people are paying their own way through Tech.
Sure.
You know, there's no way that if I went to UT and I got into UT and I got into Memphis and some other bigger schools, but there's no way I could have afforded to go there.
Yes, because you would have had to have lived there.
I would have had to live there.
You had to eat.
Had to eat there, yes.
At some point,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. And then working there, you know, there's no way that I could – I'd be making almost the same money that I was here, and there's just no way that I could afford to pay for it. And
sure.
I think that work ethic pays off for people. I mean, I think book learning is good, but wanting to work once you get that education is the main thing.
Right. Right, being able to go. So you graduate from Tech. Did you know immediately you wanted to go to law school? Was that the plan?
At that point, it was. You know, my big change came probably 9th, 10th grade. Up until that point, I thought I was going to be a mechanic or just work something like that because that's what my family had always done.
Mm-hmm.
But then my grandfather was retiring from the record business. And sold his record, and as is to a guy in Cookeville, and then the guy sued him and made him take his record back.
Wow.
And the attorney basically said, hey, this is a slam dunk case, blah, blah, blah. It's sold as is, which is still the law, basically, if you sell it as is. And the guy was an experienced person. And we went to court, and we lost. And the attorney said, well, I just guess it was my turn to lose, you know. And basically took advantage of my grandfather and took a lot of money from him. My grandfather was illiterate, could only sign his name.
Mm.
And at that point, I decided I wanted to go help poor people and not let them get taken advantage of people.
Sure.
You know, there's so much of that I see in court. Even today, you know, people need that attorney or they need that stuff. But just good, hardworking people deserve to have good.
Sure. They need that advocate.
They need
counselor.
That advocate, and they need somebody who's going to stand up and make their attorney do a good job.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of attorneys really like me, and there's a lot of attorneys who don't like the way I do things on the bench because I make them work. I make them do their job. I make them properly represent their clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's what called me to this job. And then at that point, I decided to go to law school, and it turned out real well for me, it turned out.
So did you apply to several law schools, or did you have your eyes set on, I'm going to UT Memphis,
well,
and that's
I had, where I was I applied to several law schools and got into a lot of law schools. I had a pretty good GPA at Tech and had a good LSAT score.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, affordability was one of the things that was there. Memphis was in-state. It was affordable.
Yes.
And one of the deciding factors of that, because it was basically down between Memphis and UT, but I went to Memphis because one of my best friends was in dental school there, and he'd had his first year in, and then we ended up being roommates for my 3 years and his last 3 years at Memphis. It just really worked out that you had somebody there who you knew
sure.
and could do that, and we would share rides and stuff back and forth. So.
That's good. That's yeah. good. So you're at law school at Memphis. Was your first semester an eye-opener?
Living in Memphis was basically an eye-opener. You know,
I'm sure from Monterey.
From Monterey.
Sure, of course it is.
It was quite an eye-opener, and even Cookeville is quite different. But yes, you know, the first day in class, they say, look to your left, look to your right. One of those people won't be here when you graduate, and that's true.
Right.
You know,
bail out.
And one of the things that they kept talking to us about is, you know, when you're in high school, you may make really good grades. again in your class, and then when you go to college, you might make really good grades. But when you get to law school, you're already in the people that are in your law school with you are people who've made really good grades in high school and really good grades in college. Mm-hmm. So the pool is really smart people there.
Right.
And some people, you know, really had a more worldly advantage than I did. The first semester was pretty intimidating, but then it was so funny. We do these mock trials, and one of my law school buddies was from Paducah, Kentucky, and because of our accents, we learned the moniker of lawyers from the sticks. it was sort of a derogatory term when they first gave it to us, but once we won the mock trial 2 years in a row, they kind of stood up and took notice of us.
That's right. So. That was no longer a derogatory term.
Exactly. We wore it proudly. So.
So you so you're in law school. You get out in what, 3 years?
3 years.
Okay.
Yep.
And so I guess you're deciding in that 3 year period. So where am I going to go work? Right.
Right.
Or where am I going to hang a shingle?
Right.
I mean, typically most lawyers when they graduate law school don't immediately hang out their own sign, do they?
Well, it's sort of becoming more of a trend now
than
it was when I was there. When I graduated law school, it was a little different. So.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you're listening to Jonathan Young, and the show is Local Matters. We will be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. My guest today is Judge Jonathan Young. So we were talking about when we went to break about, you know, when somebody graduates from law school, do they go work for a firm? Do they hang out their own shingle and start their own practice? And you said it's kind of becoming a trend more so that the younger ones are going ahead and going into business for themselves?
It seems to be that way. You know, when I came out, and it's a numbers game, really. When I came out, a buddy of mine that both started practicing that same year, we were the first new attorneys in about 5 years that started practicing in the area. And now we're swearing in, 10 to 20 lawyers a year.
Yes.
That are moving in the area. And you know, we don't have that many new cases out there to take on that. So a lot of the attorneys are going in for themselves or taking a state job or something like that if they can't do that.
Interesting. So you end up coming out of school, going to work. Did you have in your mind, hey, I think I might want to run for something? Was that a plan or not a plan?
No, that was definitely not anywhere in the cards because I love practicing law. I love representing people. I love doing that.
Do you love going to court?
I do.
When you were an attorney?
I loved going to court.
Okay.
I like the adversarial system.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people now have forgotten that we're attorneys and we're trained to butt heads with one another in the courtroom. But when we leave the courtroom, we're still buddies.
Sure.
And we don't take it personal. I think if you do take it personal, then that affects your clients more. You need to be the neutral person who can argue your case, but not get so involved in it that you know, it's the same thing of when people get angry, they can't think as well.
Sure.
And I see so many of the younger attorneys and even some of the older attorneys now who get so involved and so angry in the case that they can't properly present their case for their client.
Sure.
You have to.
Is it a skill maybe by some attorneys to get the other attorney off track?
Oh, I think
track?
So. Okay. I think so. I think it is a skill. And they'll try it, you know, and it's sort of like a bully. You know, some of the attorneys now, when I'm judge, you know, try to say things to sort of bully me or whatever. And
so they'll pull that on the judge.
They'll pull that on the judge. And, wow. some judges take the bait and I just laugh at them and sort of takes the wind out of their sails when they see that I don't take it personal. And I think that's
Was that a skill you had to develop as a baby judge? Because I know Judge Patterson would joke about having to go to baby judge school and learn how to do the job.
Well, I tell people what we learned in baby judges school. If you didn't already know that, you probably should not be a judge. I mean, it was like basic
yes.
evidence.
How to run your court.
Yes,
you know?
And stuff like that. But I just think it's your temperament. I think it's what you're born with. I mean, I think some people are born and take things personally, and some people don't. And I never was one that took things personal because, I had good mentors who would go up and fight like heck. But at the end of the day, you know, if you called me and said, hey, my mother died, I need a continuance, you know, they didn't even question it. They just said, sure, you're going to get a continuance or whatever. Or I've got a sick child at home, or you know, whatever. You just try to treat them like your extended family. If there's some you really like and some you don't like as well, but at the end of the day, they're still family, and you still try to help them out.
So they would call your office and talk to Miss Brenda and say, "Hey, I've got a sick child at home. We need to continue this until next Friday."
And I had that come up last week. I was in a week long trial. And one of the attorneys called me up or called up Miss Brenda, and I was in trial, and said, I've had a death in my family and I can't get the other attorneys on the call. And I said, well, you know, we're going to continue your case. And if you can get them on a call, that's fine. And if not, just put down an order that I'm going to continue it because of your death in your family. Because, you know, that attorney didn't need to be making funeral arrangements and try to track down attorneys and do all this kind of stuff.
Totally agree.
And one of the attorneys said, well, did she tell you who it was that died in her family? And I said, well, no, obviously it was somebody close to her or she wouldn't, you know, matter. And it's not like one of these attorneys, you see some that, you know, their mother has died for the 12th time.
They pulled that in school,
to get out of school
and
stuff.
Right. That's right.
And it's a small area, so you kind of get to know the attorneys.
Yes, you kind of know. So I see that the county commission approved the bond for the expansion of the jail. This may or may not affect your court at all, but obviously
it won't affect us, except it will really affect the people coming to court because parking is already a premium right now.
Yes. And a little farther to walk.
And do that. That's always a problem. With expansions and stuff like that, but they tell me we need a bigger jail, and I trust the sheriff and that we need a bigger jail.
Yeah,
we'd really like to have a couple extra courtrooms because we're bursting at the seams, and sometimes I've had to move cases to other counties or use the old courthouse, which is not no longer designed to hold court, just to make things happen.
Sure. So would that require courtrooms off-site?
Well, what they're thinking about doing is maybe building onto the back where we've got the little parking lot on the top.
Yes.
And doing that and trying to do that way.
The county never came to an agreement purchasing the land from First Realty.
Apparently, they did not.
I would assume.
That's okay, too. But it's just, you know, with COVID, we're so far behind.
I can imagine.
I had a docket call in Putnam County, and normally I set about 10 to 15 cases each docket call, and we set 40 for trial.
Wow.
So that's four times as many as what we normally set, and that's just one county, and we have seven. So
because you're in the circuit.
We're in the circuit.
So back in the old days, you'd have been riding your horse.
Been riding my horse.
Crossville or whatever.
take the riverboat. I think okay. part of it, that was the river thing, boat. Is they started up in Salina at the river, and they rode it down.
Yes, Gainesboro.
Yeah, Gainesboro and
Carthage,
places,
so. Sure. Yeah, that's interesting.
It is. So, it's an interesting history.
I think people think that most judges just show up to their office and then walk across the street to the court to the courthouse, and that's all. That's all they do.
Yeah.
And so you're in all these different counties.
We're in all these different counties. We go to seven different counties. And,
wow.
And a lot of times when I'm not on the bench, it doesn't mean I'm just sitting in my office, you know, twiddling my thumbs.
Cooking. Yes.
We do that occasionally.
Yes.
But it's
Your
mostly,
onions were burning my eyes, by the way.
Yeah, probably.
I was working for Congressman Black.
Yeah, so. Probably. But you would come across and eat with us.
I would enjoy the food. That's true.
But we're reading motions and doing things and taking phone calls and stuff. Because like I said, the case that I had lasted a week. Last week we're in trial from Monday till Friday. Eight 9 hours a day. But we'd probably spend about maybe 35-40 hours. Just on motions and reading the motions and getting ready to go to trial. Now, the attorneys probably had a lot more time in it than that, but that's just one case that probably took about two and a half weeks of my time.
So is that a judge decision trial or is that a jury decision?
That's a jury decision. Most of my cases are jury trials, which, you know, is the fairest system we have.
Sure.
But occasionally there's a bench trial if it's something, but most cases.
I couldn't think of the phrase. So it's called a bench trial.
Okay, yes, that's where right. You try it to the bench.
Sure.
And then the jury is that. And we normally have juries of 12, just like criminal court, and the verdict has to be unanimous.
Okay. And so during the pandemic, that was kind of shut down.
We've basically been shut down for an entire year.
Wow. Well, when we come back here on Local Matters, we're going to have more with Judge Jonathan Young. Welcome back to Local Matters. My guest today, Judge Jonathan Young. I'm your host, Michael Detweiler. And Judge, I guess one of the questions that probably a lot of us would have and wouldn't think to ask is, like, what kind of cases do you hear? What kind of court is it? I mean, I'm familiar with the criminal court only because I was on a jury.
Right.
So what's your court handle?
Well, criminal court is a specialized court. All they hear is criminal matters. And then Chancery Court is one of our other specialized cases. All the chancellor hears is civil matters, a lot of domestic stuff and boundary line disputes. And mostly, like I said, bench trials. Is what they hear. Circuit court is sort of the old court when you think about the circuit riders. We have what they call general jurisdiction, which means we can hear any case that is at the circuit level. So where the criminal court guys are stuck only with criminal and the chancery is stuck only with civil, we can hear both kinds of cases. We can hear murder cases or we can hear divorces.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't hear a lot of criminal cases, probably – maybe less than 5 or 10% of my cases are criminal, and mostly it's civil cases. And it's you know, you go to general sessions courts, you see the evictions or the
sure.
little car wreck
small claims
courts, and stuff like
yeah.
that. And that's what they're there for. Our cases are the bigger cases. You know, the more, I won't say more serious, because I think every case that's there is serious, but. More dollar amounts.
Okay.
The Sessions Court tops out at $25,000, and we can go. I've got one case right now that's about. They're asking for $3 billion with a B.
Oh my
dollars
word.
In damages. It's one of the opioid cases that
wow.
we have. That's there. So you know it's serious, and you know Sessions Court. If you've been there, their cases are probably over with in maybe an hour at the longest. Criminal cases, day or two. You know, my cases are weeks at a time.
Interesting.
And I've got a case in January that's going to last at least 3 weeks. And we're so backed up. I was trying to set another two-week case now, and we started in January, and we ended up setting it in November of next year. So,
my goodness.
You know, we're just inundated with stuff. But, you know, and being civil – it's a lot different than criminal. We have our own rules. There's the criminal rules. So we have the civil rules. You're not entitled to an attorney in civil court where you are in criminal court.
So if you want an attorney, you hire
You have to hire one, unless it's a contempt action where they can put you in jail for not paying your child support or something like that. But in most cases, it's you know, each side pays for their attorney, and it goes for that. But it's very serious cases. You know, somebody said, well, I've watched General Sessions Court, or I handled a divorce or something like that, and that's good. That's a good experience. I think everybody should experience. But when you have two of the top lawyers in the state of Tennessee arguing with one another, and one of them says, you know, you need to go this way, and the other one says you need to go that way, it takes a lot of knowledge to know which way the law is.
Sure.
And that's what we're based on. We're a law court that has to follow the law and do that.
So who is the other circuit judge?
Judge Amy Hollers.
Hollers, okay, yep. Up in Livingston.
Up in Livingston.
And then who decides what gets heard in what court? Is it?
Well, we have a very complicated system, is that she gets the first case and I get the second one.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, she's odds, you're even.
Exactly.
I see how this works.
Or vice versa. I don't remember which way it is.
Since she's the more senior judge,
she's the more senior judge,
she gets her pick.
The clerk sends them out, and then occasionally, you know, she may have a conflict with one, and I'll get one, and then it'll throw it out of balance. But the clerks are really good about balancing these things out.
So the clerks are the ones that are bringing the cases to you all,
right?
Okay.
You know, they'll get filed with the clerks, and then the clerks will docket the case, and then the attorneys are responsible for getting us on the phone. Which is one of the complications of having more than one county, because a lot of these judges, like in Nashville, where a friend of mine is trying a case right now, they have maybe 15 circuit judges in one county. So they have only 1/15 of the docket in Davidson County. So their judge or their clerks will then just, you know, they're in the same building. They'll walk it over there and give them the stuff. But
so you have half the docket in Clay and Pickett and
– right.
Jackson?
Not Jackson.
Well, Overton.
Overton.
Sure.
Cumberland, White, DeKalb, and Putnam.
Wow.
Yeah. Somebody said that our judicial territory is, in land size, is larger than Rhode Island.
Wow.
Well,
Cumberland County is about as large as Rhode Island.
Cumberland County is a huge, huge county.
Square miles.
Yes.
It's huge.
I think they have the second largest stretch of interstate that runs through in Tennessee.
Wow. That's amazing. Because I guess there wasn't a lot of people living up in that eastern part of it, and they could have the county seat there and make it larger because there wasn't anybody living in that part.
And it's a little confusing because they have two time zones.
They do. They have that eastern that hits that far east county.
When we're up there in court, we have to call it fast time or slow time.
Yes, right.
Which time do you mean?
You have specific days that you're in specific counties, right?
Well, specific times of the year.
Times of the year. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So it's not like you're having to go every week county.
Right, which is a holdback from the old system, is that we have what we call terms of court.
Yes.
Now, you know, unfortunately, Cumberland County and Putnam County get the bulk of our attention simply because they are the busiest two courts that we have.
It's size. It's population.
Size. And number of cases and all that sort of stuff.
Does any other county stand out in terms of having more cases than their size? I mean, or not really?
Not really. I mean, Clay and Pickett, they really have very few numbers up there. Overton County is a little bit. Probably DeKalb County has more cases than their size.
Sure.
And part of that is because they have a huge number of TDOT cases where they're putting roads in right now. And there for a long time, the state just didn't start those roads, which now – 15, 20 years later, they're going back and starting to build these roads again.
Sure. So people have some issues there.
Right.
And the, rights away.
The thing about the TDOT cases is I can't force those to trial. In the statute, the plaintiff has the right to wait to the completion of the road before they have to sell the land to the state. Which is a good thing, because land 15 years ago was not worth what it's going to be now.
That's right.
You know. So it's going to cost the state a lot more money, but it's more fair that when they're taking your land, they should give you a fair price for it.
Sure, they should give you that. So are there So court is held in Pickett County at the old courthouse?
At the old courthouse.
Wow.
Yep.
And then I know in Clay County it's held at that annex.
We have the little annex down there. And the other courthouse that we go to is DeKalb County at the old courthouse.
Sure,
there.
Right there on the square.
Yes. And, you know, the problem with some of these older courthouses is they were built for access and not security.
Right.
Like the Pickett County Courthouse has one way in and one way out.
Yes.
Which is not good for security.
And a jail on the third
and
floor.
And a jail. Well, the jail's
top
now,
floor.
Jail's
whatever.
Now been condemned. So,
has it? Oh,
so
okay.
They're not there anymore. They're okay. Over in Jamestown.
Wow.
But then the courthouse in DeKalb County is just the opposite. It has five ways to get into the courtroom.
Yes.
So, you know,
Doors everywhere.
There's doors everywhere.
Yes.
We
had that issue with town hall meetings
right.
There. There was so much access to
right.
it. And, of course, you have to control that access.
And you want people to be able to come to court. You know, we don't get a lot of watchers anymore since the metal detector, but they're still open to the public. But in today's society, you really want safety there. And it's not just my safety, but the safety of everybody in the courtroom. Because normally you hear of a judge getting shot and maybe an officer or even some crowd members. And we try to protect everybody. And luckily, our sheriffs really take that seriously.
Yes.
To do that. There's been times in some other counties, some other sheriffs that are no longer there, security was kind of lacking.
Wow.
And
so where's court over in Overton County? Is it at the historic courthouse?
I've had court over there, but mainly I go to the new Justice Center over there.
Sure.
I really like going to the old courthouses, though. I just think it's got more of a nostalgic feel about it. And just, you know, they were just set up to try cases. They were designed by people who knew how to design courtrooms.
The one in Clay County sticks out in my mind.
Yes.
The age of that courthouse.
Yes.
Of course, I don't think it's used anymore except on special occasions.
Right. And, you know, it was one of the segregated courthouses that we used
Interesting.
To have. Of course, segregation's now long gone, but I think history's important. And I think, you know, it shows how far we've come. And how far we need to go.
Sure.
You know,
absolutely.
But one of my biggest complaints is it's not black people, white people, Hispanic, you know, minorities, whatever. It's rich versus poor right now.
Is it?
And that's the thing, you know, if in that case that I had, if you got four experts that you're paying, you know, one side in that case spent about probably $400,000 to $500,000 just in trial that week, and the other side couldn't afford it because they were just poor DeKalb County people.
Sure,
you know they could barely scrape together to get one expert.
Yeah,
and it you know it's hard.
Puts them at a disadvantage.
It puts them at a disadvantage. Yeah. You know, and I mean it's all legal because you know both sides have the right to call witnesses and do that. But you know when it's do I want to pursue this lawsuit and pay this expert or do I want to feed my children?
Sure.
You know, that's
a decision.
That's a decision you have to make.
Yeah, it is. So remaining few seconds, I was reading one of many Lincoln books that I've read over my years in life. He was a traveling attorney running the circuit.
Right.
And when they ran the circuit, they traveled by horseback and they would go and stay in a town and all of the lawyers would stay in a hotel room together.
Right.
So there might be two or three of you sleeping in the same bed.
Who had cases against
each
other.
That's right, against each other. So.
And a lot of times at the taverns downstairs, they would settle a lot of cases
they would.
That way.
They would. And so it was very interesting reading about how Lincoln and his bunch practiced law.
Right.
And I can't imagine it wasn't that different even in say Overton and Putnam counties back in those days
I've heard some of the old stories and it was done here too.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way
they traveled
done.
Together.
Traveled together.
Yes.
Yeah. It was like a little circus. It's like when the circus came to town when court was going on.
Right. People would go out to town to see them all coming in.
Exactly.
Out on the edge of town. Well, listen, it's been an honor to sit and have a chat with you today. I appreciate the time. Folks, it's Judge Jonathan Young, and I'm Michael Detweiler, and the show is Local Matters.